AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Deputies in northern Mississippi say they've arrested a gunman who shot and killed six people in four locations in a small town. WREG-TV reporter Jordan James is in Arkabutla, about 40 miles south of Memphis.
The DeShade County Sheriff tells WREG that a person went to a local store in Arkabutla and shot and killed a man, then proceeded to a home along Bend Road where a woman was shot and killed. But the violence did not stop there. The suspect is also linked to the deaths of two people at a home along Arkabutla Dam Road. Eventually, the suspect was captured following a brief pursuit. Moments later, deputies also discovered two more people who were killed.
No word on a motive yet. In Memphis, attorneys for the former cops accused of killing Tyree Nichols enter pleas for their clients.
The five former officers had pleas entered on their behalf.
At this time, we waive the formal reading of the indictment off the court. A plea of not guilty.
One by one, their attorneys told the court they were pleading not guilty. Among those in the courtroom, Tyree Nichols' mother, Ravon Wells.
They're going to see me at every court date, everyone.
Exactly.
And until we get justice for my son.
The officers are all charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and aggravated kidnapping. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine tells East Palestine residents their air and water are both safe. 2 weeks after a train wreck and fire involving rail cars full of chemicals.
We never thought that the municipal water was contaminated, but out of an abundance of caution, our Ohio EPA took samples which were analyzed, and they in fact came back and were shown to be safe.
White House officials say they're working on new protocols that'll help President determined when U.S. forces should shoot down unidentified objects after three shootdowns this past week. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby says not everything needs to be brought down that way.
It doesn't mean that there won't be additional shootdowns if he believes there's a legitimate threat to our safety and security. But it does mean that we're going to put a new set of parameters on the decision-making process going forward.
Two decidedly identifiable flying objects, part of an east-west doubleheader for SpaceX, starting with this launch from California about 4 hours ago.
One. Engines full power and liftoff of Starlink. Group 2-5, go Falcon, go Starlink.
The East Coast launch comes in about 5 hours, a British communications satellite from Cape Canaveral. Actress Stella Stevens has died. The 60s and 70s comedy film star may be most remembered for being the object of Jerry Lewis's affections in The Nutty Professor, the original version, of course. Stella Stevens was 84. Wall Street, the Dow gained 130 points, NASDAQ lost 69. This is CBS.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Authorities in southeast Wisconsin blame yesterday's snowstorm for a 30-car pileup on Interstate 41 near the Washington-Dodge County line. Three people were hurt, but they're all expected to pull through. It took 7 hours to clean up the mess. Republican state lawmakers say they'll start from scratch and draft their own state budget rather than work on what Governor Evers proposed this week.
Certainly the budget's going to look different for where it ends the process from where it started. But, you know, I mean, certainly there's going to be areas of compromise and consensus.
That's Senator Andre Jacques of DePere. The budget is now in the hands of the Joint Finance Committee. In sports, the Bucks beat Chicago last night 112-100. Milwaukee's 12-game winning streak is the longest in the NBA this season. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Appliances, shop now at warnerstellion.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, is my real name and my native name, my Ho-Chunk name. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, and looks like you got Lucy in your hands, Wendy and Lucy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
So we always lead off with the show with Ogama with the news, and we have that coming up in just 1 second. I just want to greet Zoe Allen, our new teammate here at Native Roots Radio. Looking like you got some good light there tonight, Zoe. Welcome to the show. Wendy and I are so happy that you've joined the team.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm reporting all the way from White Earth Nation tonight.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Hey, the cat wants to talk now. Without any further ado, and you didn't know I spoke French, did you, Wendy? Without any further ado, let's get with Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Bonjour, Neen relatives. This is Ogama Ganua Kwei. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I currently reside on Dakota homelands in central Minnesota, and I have some news and information for you here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. The first thing that I want to talk about is a recent article that came in the Mesabi Tribune here in northern Minnesota talking about the Huber Mill. And I guess I suppose it would be a correction to a previous statement I made that the Huber Mill in Cohasset, Minnesota had been essentially defeated by the Leech Lake Nation and the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. Unfortunately, St. Louis County in Minnesota is making a push to convince Huber Engineered Woods to reconsider building the project in northeastern Minnesota instead. St. Louis County is actually offering that they would pay for the environmental impact statement, which is what the Leech Lake Nation and the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy had requested of the Huber Mill. And instead of putting forth the funds in this company to be able to do that environmental impact statement and to assure residents of Minnesota and the Chippewa National Forest that this would be a safe place and a safe project, they opted to pull the project entirely, claiming that it was costing them too much money to keep this project there. Meanwhile, Northeast Minnesota in Duluth, or the county seat is in Duluth in St. Louis County, they're offering up millions of acres of county-owned forest to this project and offering to pay for the environmental impact statement. St. Louis County is going to have its county meeting on February 21st, 2023 at about 9 a.m. at the Duluth Courthouse, and they're expected to discuss plans to assist the Huber Mill in coming to Northeast Minnesota. This project would create pollution. This is an OSB mill, meaning they would cut down the trees and basically shred them and mix them with glues and other chemicals. So this production plant is not just a milling plant. It comes with many chemicals and glues and things that get into the air, or powdered things that can settle onto the land and into the water. This is not something that is going to be not labor intensive. According to the Minnesota Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, the June 2021 approved a $15 million loan for this project. And this 750 square foot mill would require 150 logging trucks a day, which would deliver 400,000 to 500,000 cords of aspen per year. The net emissions of the mill would be, according to them, minus tons of carbon per year. But I'm really not sure how they've talked about how they calculated that. And for those of you that know, you know, net emissions and net zero and minus tons of carbon per year are really kind of greenwashing terms for these companies to be able to come in and make these projects sound like they're green when they're not. And, you know, this is something that here in Minnesota, we do need to take a minute and consider. St. Louis County is the seat of a lot of tourism here in Minnesota. So I really hope that those of you that can will take some time to let St. Louis County know how you feel about this project. And meanwhile, you know, stay tuned and we'll be following this as much as we can here on Native Roots Radio. Speaking of pollution, I do want to touch base on something we haven't been able to touch on here in Native Roots Radio so far, which is the train derailment from February 3rd in Ohio, in East Palestine, Ohio, about 50 miles northwest of Pittsburgh. On February 3rd, a Norfolk Southern train, number 32N, derailed just outside of East Palestine, and 38 of the train's 150 cars derailed. Some of the cars, you know, then burst into flames, and of course, those flames damaged other cars. Of those cars that derailed, five of those tankers were carrying something called vinyl chloride, which is an industrial chemical used to make hard plastic. And breathing in vinyl chloride is a problem, and it is a known risk for various types of cancer. And also what happens when it gets into the air or water supply is the same thing. There's also a lot of other chemicals that are on board with that, including butyl acrylate, which is a clear liquid that's used for making paints and sealants, ethyl hexyl acrylate, which is a colorless liquid for paints and plastics, and ethylene glycol monobutyl, which is used as a solvent for paint and inks, as well as some dry cleaning solutions. Many of these chemicals are highly flammable, carcinogenic, and cause other health issues. Unfortunately, the after the train derailment, they were forced to do what they considered a controlled release of these chemicals and opted to release them from the tankers into the air and do a controlled burn of them rather than them possibly risking another explosion. And right now, the EPA is saying that people in East Palestine, Ohio, can go home, but many of the people there do not feel safe going home. They're complaining of stinking chemicals and, you know, sore throats and runny noses and itchy eyes. And, you know, the Food Safety News website, you know, is calling for questions to be raised about food safety in the wake of this. There were thousands of fish that were reported dead in the immediate area following this derailment and the chemical release. And, you know, this pollution has also gotten into the Ohio River. And the Ohio River, I don't know if anybody knows this, but it actually connects with the Mississippi River. So there's a lot of concerns that are happening. And from the last image that I seen, which I couldn't verify, but it looks like the air pollution from the controlled burn was heading northeast out of Ohio up into New York State and elsewhere up there. So this is, you know, I apologize that I haven't had time to talk about this, but I kind of wanted to see what was happening. And, you know, they're there's class action lawsuits, a lot of class action lawsuits coming against the train company. And unfortunately, a lot of train workers in the country have been speaking out about this as well and saying that, you know, these train companies knew that this was hazardous because they had been cutting safety measures and laying off workers in the interest of being more efficient. But I did see an article that read that this train car was 2 miles long. And they only had one worker on this car. So that's kind of how these accidents can happen. And the EPA and the U.S. government has said that they are going to be seeking, you know, the full legal recourse for the company that caused this, and that company may be liable for the cleanup under the U.S. Superfund law. But this is, I mean, this is really going to be something where we may be hearing about the long-term effects of this pollution and this this accident and spill for a very long time. So, again, we're going to be covering this here at Native Roots Radio and talking about it periodically as things go on. And our prayers are with the families, the animals, and all of our relations that are currently affected by this, as well as us here in Minnesota, because even though we're not experiencing direct reports or direct problems from this, we may be seeing this come through in our food. Ohio is ranked first nationally in the production of Swiss cheese, second in egg production, and third in tomatoes and pumpkins, and it's also fifth in the nation for bell peppers, sixth for corn and cucumbers, and eighth in the number of chickens sold. And we have yet to see what is going to happen to those crops after the release of these chemicals. So stay vigilant, everybody. Stay safe. Be a good relative, and tune in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, we'll be right back with Senator Mary Kunis. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, it seems like, Wendy, we've had a bunch of shows about being at the Capitol, and here's somebody that's a front line and boots on the ground at the Capitol that I got to watch in action. State Senator Mary Kunis, welcome.
Hello, everyone. How are you all? I got to see Wendy this week. I got to see you this week, Robert. It's just, I guess it's the place to be these days.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really kind of interesting. I was only in your education committee for a few minutes, and I think people were talking about some charter school stuff, and it was very interesting kind of vibe happening there before I had to go to my other meeting. But great to see you in action, and great to see people out there concerned with things, and not so great to hear Republicans speak, though.
Well, it was a full week of education and lots of other really, really good things going on at the Capitol. It was also Tuesday. Was it Tuesday or Monday? Was the MMIW? It was Tuesday. The Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's March. So I got out of the Capitol, got over to South Minneapolis, and you know, it felt so good to be in community with folks again. It's been a long, long time. You know, a couple of years since we've been able to get together like that. And so it felt good.
Yeah, it was interesting, too. I felt bad for you because I was there watching, and we've reported this on Native Roots Radio that Mayor Fry, they were asking him to leave during your while you were speaking up there. And you're such a trooper. You just kept going right through. And I was like, my ADHD was going, what's going on? But I'm so glad.
I was so glad to watch.
Oh, no.
Oh, you just got muted somehow, Mary. We can't hear you, Mary. Yeah, we can't hear you. But what I was going to say, it was a good thing that Kristen mentioned what was going on, because I didn't want it to come off as us natives talking.
Difficulties.
What's that?
Oh, can Robert's muted, not me.
Nope, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good.
We can hear you now, Mary.
I would love to hear any other reflections you had of the march or any of the other happenings this week. There was so much going on. It was a really, really packed week.
It was very much a packed week. So again, to get back to the march, it's been a couple of years since we've been able to get together you know, recognize the tragedy that has happened in our communities for, you know, such a long time, so many generations. You know, to recognize that there's still so much work to do. And it was really heartbreaking when folks started to, you know, shout out their loved ones' names who had gone missing and had gone, you know, were murdered or trafficked or used and abused. So that was just, you know, a super big tragedy. But we're going to, you know, we're going to keep working on it. We're going to keep making sure that that we are addressing these issues. And it's interesting being in the Minnesota Senate, because so many things come up that, that, you know, I had no idea was going on in our state or anything like that. And so, every day I learn a little bit more about our state and the work that we're all doing there or not doing sometimes. And, it's, you know, it's just such a privilege to be there in this time and in this space.
Yeah, definitely. Can you hear me okay, Mary?
Yep, now I hear you.
Yeah, somehow somebody removed me from the feed, and that's not fair because then you can't hear me. But one of the things that I just want to back up and say is that it was good that the MC spoke about what was going on in the corner, as it could have been portrayed as that we were fighting amongst ourselves, and it was good mm-hmm. that they were talking about, hey, they asked the mayor of Minneapolis to leave in a not so good way.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they mentioned that, because I was going, what's going on? I was on the other end of the building.
Yeah. So, I think when you came into that education policy meeting, Robert, we were listening to a bill that would, well, it's a pilot program to improve educational outcomes and accountability. Oh, maybe that wasn't the one that you were there for. I forget exactly which committee you were in, but
it was an education, but they were talking about something to do with testing and also charter schools being.
I know what it was. It was so the Minnesota Department of Education. It was their policy bill for the session. And it's just, it's full of a lot of really good things for our tribes. There's a lot of attention and funding going towards Indian education. There's the mask, you know, the anti-mascot bill or part version of it, the ability or the freedom to wear eagle feathers and regalia in when we have ceremonies or graduation ceremonies. Mm-hmm. There's another bill that I'm carrying, and St. Paul already does allow tobacco to be not only worn in the pouch around the students, you know, in the little bag sack around the student's neck, but also in St. Paul, they allow tobacco to be burned in and or sage, you know, to smudge. And so those are some other things that we are addressing in Minnesota. But, you know, having members in the House, having me in the Senate, having our lieutenant governor, all Native women starting to champion these things, we're really lucky.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. And you remember, Mary, that I was an educator along with you. And I was an educator in St. Paul and also at the school that the murder happened, that a young student was murdered by another student. Our prayers go out to Harding High School in St. Paul. I was doing those things before, and I think we had a strong Native connection because Harding was a magnet school for Native Americans that would come there. So, but the derogatory comments hopefully will be taken away once these bills pass, because everyone was like, oh, it smells like weed. And you're like, no, you just don't know what weed smells like. And that was super racist, what you just said. And that was coming from teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another really big push that we have going on in Minnesota is to update our MIFBA bill. Our MIFBA legislation and statutes, that's the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. And it's basically sort of a little mini ICWA bill or law here in Minnesota. And we know that, you know, ICWA is under threat and the Supreme Court is supposed to come out with some kind of a decision pretty soon. And so this summer, I asked our Senate research to go through our MIFBA statutes and look to find and see where we needed to update it, where we needed to shore it up. I wanted to remove any reference to ICWA, because if it goes away, then anything where it states ICWA now becomes irrelevant. And so they did that. That was a huge task. And at the same time, actually for a couple of years, there's been a tribal work group with tens of dozens of people, practitioners, lawyers, tribal folks looking at that as well. And so we took the suggestions from the work group, we took the suggestions from our Senate research and put together a new updated version of MIFBA, so that if ICWA goes away, we aren't sitting there with none of these protections for our children and our families.
Right on, Mary. Hey, let's come back and talk maybe a little bit, let our audience know that doesn't know what ICWA is, and that's how you're preserving our families in the Native community. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Wendy,
stay with us.
Ho-wa. Oh.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Sheriff's deputies in northern Mississippi say they've arrested the man who shot and killed six people. Ethan Cash tells News Nation he heard shots and tried to help at one of the crime scenes south of Memphis.
I go up to the truck where a guy got shot at, and I check his pulse and everything, make sure he's okay. He's already gone at this point.
No word yet on a motive. In Memphis, five fired police officers have pled not guilty to killing Tyree Nichols. Ben Crump represents Nichols' mother, who was in the courtroom.
They didn't even have the courage to look at her in her face, and that's what she came to the courtroom to see today. Them look her in her face eye to eye. How could you do this to my son?
2 weeks after a chemical train wreck in East Palestine, Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine tells residents that the water's been tested.
Those five wells have all come back clean. The water is safe to drink.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Western Wisconsin nurse accused of cutting off a dying patient's foot appeared in court yesterday. Mary Brown pleaded not guilty to charges of mayhem and physical abuse of an elderly person. Last May, witnesses said Brown removed the victim's right foot, which had become necrotic from severe frostbite. She did not have a doctor's permission, and the patient did not request it. Brown said she did it to make the man more comfortable. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile's catalytic converter was stolen during a weekend appearance in Las Vegas. Thieves have been targeting vehicles' catalytic converters over the past few years because they contain rhodium, which is nearly 10 times as valuable as gold. KLAS-TV reporting the vehicle was towed to a repair shop with a temporary catalytic converter installed. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Thank you so much for that support. Minneapolis, what is it? Say it again.
It is the Native American Community Development Institute.
Robert Lilligren and the crew out there. That's right. Awesome. Hey, we have State Senator of Minnesota, Mary Kunish, and we were talking a little bit about all the work she was doing, and we were running around the Capitol, too, and I'm banging on the door because I got the okay from the tribe to really push the getting Ho-Chunk recognized in Minnesota, and I was excited to hear all the positive responses that I was out there. Mary, can you talk a little bit to our audience, maybe what, if they don't know, because we were talking about ICWA, what basically ICWA does and means to our nations across Turtle Island?
Sure. So ICWA is the Indian Child Welfare Act. And it is a federal law or act that was created to protect the best interest of Indian children and to ensure the stability and the security of Indian tribes and family. So that, we all understand that historic removal of Indian children being removed, intentionally, forcibly removed from their families, whether through starvation, boarding schools during the 60s scoop, put in foster care, and then intentionally placed in non-Native families, white families' homes, in order to, to continue that vision of getting us all to assimilate and the genocide of the Native community. And so ICWA provides the outline and the standards for states around how to handle child abuse and neglect and adoption, and setting the standards for how we ought to be taking care of that or addressing those issues. And so this MIFBA bill that we have is really the gold standard, and it bolsters existing protections of ICWA into Minnesota statutes. And the passage of this bill is going to continue the work to protect Indian families, reduce litigation where possible, and provide more clarity so that the tribes and the counties, governmental agencies have the same work under the same expectation and understanding of the rights and responsibilities that they are due. And I would just like to run through a little bit of history about the removal of our kids. Do we have time for that? I'll make
absolutely.
It quick.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Okay. We got 10 minutes. Well, really okay. Six, but okay. Fine. No.
So, throughout the history of the United States and in Minnesota, government and private practices have implemented intentional, horrific methods of removal and disconnection of our Indian children from their homes and from the culture and the tribes. And I would say this disconnection really began the minute, colonizers stepped on these lands. But the disconnection, officially within our state, within our federal government, began with the federal policy of assimilation in 1819 through the Indian Civilization Act. I mean, this is an act that was passed by the United States Congress in 1819, and it encourages the benevolent societies of both Protestant and Catholic organizations to provide education for American Indians, and authorized financial incentives to stimulate the civilization process. So that happened, that started in 1819, but by 1891 and throughout the 20th century, the government used that Civilization Fund Act as authority to establish all of those awful, awful boarding schools across North America. And then in 1869 came the peace policy. And that is an approach that sanctioned humane interaction with Native people and allowed religious groups to run reservations across the American West. And that's those attempts by the federal government were to, of course, end tribes by assimilation, and then also led to that adoption of the Indian boarding school policy. And so by 1879, that forcible removal of Indian children from their homes for placement and in government-sponsored boarding schools really, really kicked in earnest. And they, you know, worked under the guise of kill the Indian and save the child. And so by the 1900s, even by 1900, even though we don't know the exact number, it is estimated that at least 20,000 of our children were in Indian boarding schools. But even worse, by 1925, in just 25 years, that number had more than tripled. And then came the Indian Adoption Act of 1953, and that's when the boarding schools began to die out because they realized how expensive it was. So new efforts started to disconnect our Indian families. So from 1958 to 1967, which is not so long ago, right? I think at least three of the four of us were around during those years. The federal government enacted a program called the Indian Adoption Project. And that was the goal of white Americans adopting Native kids. And again, it was officially efforts to lift obstacles that prevented Native children from eligible adoption and allow them a better life. And so this is, you know, this is how we lost so many of our family members and how our tribes were diminished through the adoption by our non-Indian families. And the effects of the trauma, the separation of families, the disconnection from the important cultural teachings, you know, during these eras is what we are now trying to recapture. We are trying to recreate and reconnect as our families and tribes really struggle to rebuild the extended family and community relationships. And, you know, I think we've talked about this before, you know, so many of our families just didn't know how to parent because the fear of your child be taken away. You didn't have those generations of grandmas and great grandmas and aunties and uncles and grandpas helping us raise our children. And, you know, we are now, you know, we are still feeling those terrible, terrible trauma events today. And we're really working hard to counteract that.
That's awesome, Mary. And that's thank you so much for letting our allies out there listen to what we're struggling with in the history, too. I'm thinking next week I'm going to the 50th anniversary of Wounded Knee. And last time I went, I was with Clyde Belcourt, and I listened to the documentary that you had talked about. And it's a true crime documentary or podcast, I should say, Finding Cleo. And that thing amazed me. That piece of work and art really amazed me.
Mm-hmm. It was such a heartbreaking. It's the story of a brother and actually siblings that had been separated by force, removed from their mother, who was a victim of terrible, terrible, terrible trauma and violence. The children were removed and they actually handcuffed the mother to a door when they removed the children. So the children left by force thinking that their mother didn't do anything to protect them. And it wasn't until much later that they found out exactly how hard she tried to get them back. But it's the story of the siblings looking for their sister, Cleo. And I won't say so much right now, but I would encourage you. It comes out of Canada, and it's called Finding Cleo. And if you can, get that podcast and listen to it.
Well, and the thing that really comes to home with that podcast, State Senator, is that not only did Cleo and all these people that were affected by the removal of Cleo, the whole family, the mother became an advocate for adoption. There's all these against adoption and keeping the family together. It's heartbreaking. It's a mystery. And the things that they originally thought that happened to her. I appreciate you telling me about that. And that was quite a few years ago. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago that came out. But that's a great example of somebody who wants to listen to a podcast done by a Native producer in Canada, out of Canada, talking about what happened and what the 60s scoop was all about, and especially in Canada. Yeah. And me, born in 1961, and I was adopted out in 1962. So I just got back, you know, relatively not that long ago.
Well, I've got another podcast for you that you can listen to on your way out there. This Land, do you know that that podcast? It's an Apple podcast. This Land has a podcast that explores the Native American adoption law and actually ICWA. So there's a federal lawsuit from Texas that's challenging the Indian Child Welfare Act. And that's why we have to get this MIFPA done so quickly. And so there's a case called Brackeen versus Holland. Yeah. And it's it explores the threat and that the case poses to the legal structure of the ICWA laws. And so, again, I would, you know, suggest that folks do a little bit of self-education around that and learn about this work, because it is still to this day being so challenged.
Right on. And Pinigigi, State Senator Mary Kunish, for stopping in as always. Oh, it was great to see you at work and working for the community, and always great to have you on the show. I just have one thing to say here in the next 10 seconds is that if these tribes aren't fighting back, at least before they put them up for adoption, enroll them. Enroll these little ones right away, and we won't lose them, and we'll know who they are. So, again, Pinigigi, thanks for coming on again, State Senator.
Wopila, everybody, take care.
We'll be right back after the short break with our Sacred Animal section.
Stay with us.
Ow.
Ow.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, it's Patrick. February is the month for love, but when was the last time you gave your carpet the love and attention it really deserves? If your carpet hasn't been professionally cleaned, you are breathing unhealthy levels of nasty dirt, dander, bacteria, and germs that keep recirculating again and again. And what's worse, you're going to be stuck inside breathing that nasty stuff for months. Lucky for you, Zero Res is going to spread the love for you and your home with their Love Your Rug special. Get 3-room Zero Resified from the Twin Cities' number one carpet cleaner starting at just $119. Plus, this month only, they are throwing in a free hallway to sweeten the deal. But hurry, this deal won't last long. And because love has no limits, Zero Res is going to take $75 off your air duct cleaning. You owe it to yourself and your family to breathe healthy, happy, and clean. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Zero Res.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl. Where's the wolf? There it is.
Oh, the wolf. Oh.
That was a high one, Wendy. That was a high one you did. Hey, I want to introduce my, I should say reintroduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. She's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been on the radio here for over 6 years talking about our sacred animals, and really a pleasure to have you on. I think this is three times this week, so it's kind of like a record here.
It is a record.
In the last few months. But hey, thanks for coming on. You look great. You're beautiful.
Oh,
you're on.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And we were so busy talking to Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish about so many important things, and I did not get a chance to thank her, but when I did see her at the state capitol, she came over to me, and she knows how much I care about animals. She told me that she signed the bill to ban wolf hunting in Minnesota.
Oh.
So I'm so excited about that. And thank you so much again, Senator Mary Kunish, for doing that and realizing how important our Minnesota wolves are to protect and keep for future generations. So
wow, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it's really important. So, yeah. And again, just to remind everybody, the Minnesota wolves here are on the Endangered Species Act. They are threatened. But if they get taken off that Endangered Species Act list, what will happen is there may be a wolf hunt here in Minnesota, and we want to stop that. So that's why that bill is there, to stop the wolf hunt if they ever do come off the Endangered Species
yeah.
Act. But we know how fast that could happen with our last administration. He just took them off in a minute. So we have to be diligent and work ahead of everything. But Robert, did you hear? I have right here the Kansas City Star, and this is an article written on February 7th, so that's 10 days ago, by Mitchell Willits. It's about a hibernating bear who woke up tired and trapped after its makeshift den flooded with water. And here in Minnesota, and that's what the Minnesota wildlife officials said. The bear had picked a roadside culvert to sleep through the winter, the State Department of Natural Resources said in a social media post. But instead of waking up to nice spring breeze, snow melt flooded in, causing the bear to become stuck in deep snow and ice. Some people spotted the bear and tried to help it out of its predicament, which officials caution against. Some well-being folks tried to dig out the bear, the department said. They also served him up a smorgasbord of 6 Pop-Tarts, a head of lettuce, a dead sucker minnow, some Fancy Feast cat food, bird seed, and a Swedish fish. The bear turned all of these offerings down because the creatures don't have much of an appetite during the winter. That might work for the very hungry caterpillar in Eric's Carl's book, but it's no good for bears, the post said. Luckily, because bears don't have the desire to eat in the winter, the bear didn't bite. For the safety of the animal and humans alike, people should never feed bears, as it makes them associate food with people, you know, and it habituates them, and then they become nuisances and pests, and then people kill them.
Wow.
Yeah. Rescuers arrived at the scene and freed the bear, officials said. Weighing in around 400 pounds, the male bear was healthy but groggy. After being examined, it was relocated to a state game sanctuary where it can finish hibernating in peace. If you ever are concerned about a bear's safety, by all means, give us a call, officials said. But don't try to move it or feed it. Doing so could result in a bad situation. And we all kind of know that. I mean, these bears are really big, powerful animals, and you never know what a wild animal is going to do. But I thought the choice of the smorgasbord that they offered this bear was kind of a little bit ahead of lettuce. I mean, I just think that's so funny. But I do have some five cool facts about bears. And we really want to keep right now also our bears here. Our bears are on the Endangered Species Act as a threatened species. So we want to go ahead when that comes up. I'll let you guys know that to get in touch with your legislators, because we want to keep our bears around also for future generations.
And then just to jump in, too, just a reminder to audience out there, Wendy, is that my tribe, my nation, and many across Turtle Island have the Bear Clan. And I know Bear Clan is like the police of the Ho-Chunk Nation. They're the ones that take care of security and things like that.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. So it is very important. But one of the facts about our bears is that layers on layers, bears have thick layered coats. Bears are certainly big and fluffy, but there's a lot more that meets the eye. A polar bear, the coat is made up of two unique layers. The shorter coat provides insulation from weather, while the longer coat prevents water from reaching the short coat layer and the skin. Each layer serves as a unique purpose and allows the bears to thrive in frigid conditions. And I often see these big white polar bears in the Arctic, and it's so, so cold. And I, you know, you wonder how they keep warm and stay dry, right? But that's how they do it, with these different layers of this fur that they have. Grizzly bears possess a biting force of over 1,200 PSIs. Huh. And PSIs is
pounds. Per square inch.
Yeah, that's right. Pounds of pressure for square inch, right. Which is enough to crush a bowling ball or an iron skillet.
Wait, how much?
Yeah, 1,200 PSI, wow. Which is enough to crush a bowling ball or an iron skillet.
And we're going to go bowling tonight. At Prairie Highland.
All right. Well, we're just going to hold that ball and just say, oh, my gosh, a grizzly bear could just crush this in its mouth. That's crazy. Adult grizzly bears can run up to an incredible 40 miles an hour, the same pace as a greyhound, and would break the speed limit on many of the roads in the United States. So you don't want to encounter a bear, because you know what's going to happen. You will not be able to outrun this animal.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I can't run that well anymore.
I know. I'm very happy, though, about the hibernating bear. And I just want to say this also. So the bear made this little den in a culvert on the side of the road. So you know those culverts?
Yeah.
And it fills up with water, and that's so the road doesn't flood, right? Isn't that basically what those are for?
Right.
Yeah. Why would the bear, they're supposed to go like in a cave or a den somewhere. They're not supposed to be on like the side of the road in a culvert. So it is partly the bear's fault. I just want to say that.
We don't want to blame the bear because they're too strong to be blaming. Hey,
I'm glad he's rescued.
Hey, up next, we got the Pizza Box Mike at the Civic Media Network, and we love Mike and all he speaks for. Boy, that was hard for me to say, but we do love them. Hey, and I want to say, if you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.